Hi, and welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast, where we talk about all things flute. If you're looking for more tips or lessons from Emily, please check out musigy.com for all the sheet music, transcriptions, albums, books, and flute lesson packages. That's musigy.com, musogy.com. Also, if you're looking for posters, fingering charts, or merch, you can head over at our merch store at store.theflutechannel.com for all your flute needs. If you want to help us on a monthly basis, you can also consider joining us over at Patreon for as little as $2 a month. This helps us make more great content for you. Check the description for more info. Finally, if you're looking into buying a flute, please consider using the Flute Center of New York and use our code TFC for a 10-day trial in trying 3 flutes. Check the description for all the details. Now on with the show. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Flute Talk Podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Amélie.
We do this at the last Sunday of every month, and we're back again for March. Mm-hmm. And yeah, today we're going to be talking a little bit about how to prepare for concerts, like different types of tips and stuff like that, and just kind of get the conversation going on that. And also your questions about flute playing and the world of being a musician.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anything on the top of your head? I have some notes already, but I can let you go at it with your thoughts
on how
about
to prepare for a concert.
Yeah, how to prepare for a concert.
Well, for aspects me, of it. There are two different aspects. There's like learning the repertoire, and then there's the whole like practicing to play the whole concert,
right? Mm-hmm.
Because when we practice, we stop and we start, and we don't really do like in concert. So like you have to do a more than just one dress rehearsal. I think you have to play, mm-hmm, if it's a one piece, like you have to play that piece, like say you're preparing for a competition or whatever, a couple of times, like on your own, then with the accompaniment, then maybe with the accompanist if you have an accompanist, like all those things, and maybe film yourself or at least record yourself and listen to it after, and then you can figure out what are the weaker spots, because sometimes when we practice we don't notice because we stop, and so we redo the weak spot but not with what was before. Transitions are everything. Mm-hmm. And also endurance.
Totally.
And also being able, mm-hmm, to make a mistake and continue. A lot of people have difficulty with that. So you have to kind of train your brain, because in concert you can just stop. So you have to prepare to, you won't be able to play perfectly,
mm-hmm,
the way you would hear it in your head. That doesn't happen. Like it's what, once in a lifetime that you do a perfect concert? I don't know even if it ever happened to me.
Oh,
you,
yeah,
just have to live with, there's going to be tiny things like, even if it's just a little thing, like, and just not be annoyed and continue.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's a big thing, you have to.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, yeah, work on that.
Mm.
Play the whole thing. You make a mistake, you continue. And then when you do that often enough, at one point you make almost no more mistakes, or things that you consider are mistakes, but,
mm-hmm,
most people won't even hear them.
Yeah, it happens for sure.
Yeah, because like what, your standards are always further than what you can achieve usually.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we get better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's... What did you want to say about it?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, those are all great. You know, preparing for a concert, you know, you can start kind of right from the beginning. Like, what do you want to play and what pieces do you want to play? And the studying of, like, how to program and stuff like that.
Oh,
learning how to program
too.
Music and, like, find out what people want to listen to. Find out what you want to listen to. See if there's any crossover. Do you want your program to be thematic? Do you want your program to be more about like a particular composer or multiple composers? You know, like I always believe in a little ratio, but it's just my own type of thing. Is like you want to give a lot of stuff that people are sort of familiar with. So like, and then give one thing that you know for sure nobody's ever heard, but you want them to be introduced to it. Sort of like a 6-to-1, 8-to-1 type of ratio, like 8 pieces that people are going to mostly know for the most part from movies or from different soundtracks or from regular life, you know, that you're like, oh, it's actually this whole entire work, because most of the time people hear things in like 30-second bits, little things like that. I think that's changed since 20 or 30 years ago when I was programming stuff. I was more conservative, so it was more like just, okay, classical music for classical music's sake and not really doing any crossover with what is being put out into the world. And then that's changed now to more giving people what they want to hear and stuff like that, and really making them enjoy that process And I guess, you know, like figuring out how to kind of blend those two type of worlds, like trying to educate the audience a little bit with new music, not necessarily contemporary music, but music they haven't heard of that could be appealing to them, that relates a little bit to the programming. You know, like programming is really kind of the first step, kind of to think about what really fits together and what trend, like what piece can go into another piece, and then, you know, what, you know, and
what order you'll put
what
them
order
in
you want to put them in, whether you want to put an intermission, stuff like that, you know. So there's a whole entire box there, like of stuff you can think about when you want to program stuff, whether it's short concert or a long concert, because you can do anything. You can do a short concert, 20 minutes, you know, for a lunch hour somewhere or something like that, or you can do a long concert that's 60 minutes with an intermission. You know, there's a lot of great ways to kind of start.
Well, it all depends on your public. If you're preparing for a recital for university, obviously it's going to be different than if you're playing for old people home, or even like,
or outside of school.
Yeah.
To anyone.
So it's completely different. If you're a big orchestra, you have big works usually in symphony orchestras and symphonies. And so you won't have 6 to 8 pieces. You'll have 2-3 pieces usually, because the concerto itself is like 20 minutes. Like, so like it all depends.
Oh, yeah,
when
if you're preparing for an orchestra concert, I mean preparing for...
No, but even for like, even if you decide to play a long sonata, you'll have less pieces. Like it's all... Yeah. It's all... do you want to have different periods, or are you like... Yeah.
Yeah, I would say like, you know, there really is... You know, I guess because you're talking more about university, because there's more and orchestras that you have to fit to their model of what you're going to be grading on. But I was more talking about like outside of university, when you're making your own programming, making your own business, making your own career. You know, you don't have to. I've seen some concert programming that some people just pick one movement out of a sonata because that movement's the most... You know,
yeah, we don't have to follow
them.
Always the
never, you know, like
that classical music dogma in a way, you know, that you have to play the whole thing and people shouldn't applaud.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it's even a dogma. I think it's a dogma within maybe academia, because I see a lot in concert programmings outside of school, people who are doing concerts and stuff. Some people do no full sonatas, no full, they do partially, maybe the last piece is a full sonata, but maybe they do something. Pieces of other stuff, like little movements of things. And I think that's an amazing idea because, you know, there's a, you know, some Beethoven sonatas for piano that sound really great as one movement sounds like a whole piece, you know, like doesn't, you don't even, some people don't even know that some pieces have more movements to those things. So programming is really about color and stuff like that, and like trying to portray a message. And, you know, what's cool is that you can find all that music, lay it out in a playlist, listen to it while you're going for a walk or something, and see how they fit. Or like, oh, you know what? I should move this up in the playlist of the concert programming. You know, like mix and match.
Usually you want to make an arc, make some type of arc.
You want to make an emotion, just like in a movie, you know? Like when you watch a whole movie for 2 hours, you go up and down,
and
ebbs
also
and flows, like you were saying.
Some people even look at the key signatures when they... choose what order they're going to play their stuff in. I don't really do that, but some people do that because they don't want to, they want to build up, or they want to have I usually look at more the flow of emotionally, you know, what it, or like some, if there's a big work that's more demanding a little bit, maybe I'll put something a bit more relaxed in between, like because you don't want to just have too intense for the audience nonstop, or too
unless you can handle it. But if you can't, then obviously work like you just said.
Yeah, it's fun to have little.
And you know, a lot of people can get stuck with, you know, going from date. So you go from the oldest to the newest. You know, like go from Bach to Prokofiev. But in reality, you can mix and match, and you can do all popular easy music. You can do all hard music. The audience knows to a certain extent, but in reality they're there to experience what you want to give to them. So you want to, like you said, give them an experience, give them something that's going to make them have an enjoyable time.
My experience with audiences is that very often what we think is our best piece is not the piece that they prefer.
Oh yeah, totally. That's why I like research.
Because like sometimes we work very hard on something, no one talks about that piece, yeah. And then you play a super easy but well-known piece, like
sure,
that everybody Claire knows. De Lune, and let's then say. Everyone's like, "Oh my god, yeah. That piece!" Because it's all about emotions.
Yep.
Sometimes as musicians, we think, "Oh, we're gonna impress people." People don't care that much about being impressed.
Impressed by the artist. They're more impressed by the composer of the music, in a way, because it says so much in the music as well.
I don't even think impressed. You know, they just want to feel something. You know, want to have an emotion. Music is about sharing emotions, and like
100%.
Sometimes we want to show that you're professional, you know, so you can play the tough stuff.
Yeah, you want to show virtuosity, but people's education to virtuosity is very scattered, like a regular person.
No, but some things are obviously virtuosistic. Yeah, some things are. You don't need to be educated to know that that's difficult.
But to go back to what you were saying, like
it's not necessarily what people talk the most about at the end. That's exactly all I'm saying.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
It's the most emotional piece. Sometimes it's not even something that they know. Because I remember playing a concert with Prokofiev Sonata and all those things. And then I had a Takemitsu piece. I think it was Air. I don't know. I think so. And then people were like, that was a lot of people, it was their favorite. Mm-hmm. But Takemitsu wrote movie music. Like they didn't know the piece, but they liked the emotion. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's exactly. Very surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be other things like that. Hello, that's everybody.
It's so fun to have different styles. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, just want to jump into the chat here. It's so great. If you're joining us after the fact and live, we have a live talk here, and you can help us out and leave questions here while we're talking live on the show. Angie says hello from Utah. Celeste says hello from Uganda. Yay. Wow. Uganda. That's crazy. It's awesome. Jerome from France. We're going to be in France in July, I think. Yep. Although France is a big country, you know. But Louis says bonjour. And Kent gave us $20 in Super Chat, which is a thing you could do live. Thank you so much, Kent. Kent is a student, I think, in your studio, which is cool. And Louis, then we have some questions. So do you want to just talk a little bit more about concert programming, or we can jump back into it later?
We can go on the questions.
We can go on to the questions. Okay. Is it possible? Louis wants to know, is it possible to overthink it? A Pops audience may not make the link to see the arc over the entire program.
It doesn't really. They don't.
What a good question.
Yeah, you make the arc for them, but also for yourself. Maybe if it's you have two very demanding works to play, maybe you want to have something a bit easy in between.
Right.
If you like, the arc can be for yourself, but also like as an artist, you're creating your. They don't need to know your kitchen, what's happening in the kitchen, but they'll still feel it, you know.
Right. Could it, yeah.
You can go with your feeling. You don't need to overthink it either, I think.
Mm-hmm. Or like if you are overthinking it, which is you can use that to your advantage, maybe do a little talk beforehand. Do like a little pre-talk. People do that all the time, like a sit-down talk. You pre-talk with them a little bit for 10, 15 minutes about, you have a little thing written up and you talk about the pieces and then you start the program. You go back in the back of the hall or wherever you are and then go back and then start the program. That way it gives a little bit of insight to people and it even aids people to kind of get into the mood. And that could be something that could do it. But I don't know. I think it could be limitless about overthinking. I would think if it's starting to like hinder your performance or hinder your practicing, then maybe
at one point just make a decision. It's not such a big deal either.
You can always do another one. Being an artist, it's a trial and error.
It's not
like,
gonna destroy your concert because one career. Piece like yeah. no like,
not at all. People are
just
there
make
for
a
the
decision
experience.
And go with it. Yeah. You know, it's not a perfect science. Yeah. It's just go with the flow,
and then
you know?
Exactly. And then reflect after the concert. If you've recorded it, look through it, see what worked to you, what didn't, and talk to the audience after too. You know, have a little after talk or something like that, so you can kind of. It's kind of cool.
But you see there, I think there's a lot of overthinking again. But at one point, just make a decision. And because you're mostly like that. Like, you seem to overthink it today, but usually I feel you're really like, you think about it, you make a decision, then we go for it.
But that's why I'm saying, like, if you prepare a concert, was what I'm saying, is that maybe if you want to make it a total experience, you can do, like I said, a pre-talk concert. Then after, go and talk to people. It's always good to mingle and do those things. I think that's what it is. It's not about not bringing a notepad and writing things down.
You're not necessarily
down.
Thinking about this specific issue when you're talking to people.
No,
it would be a bit weird.
Oh, it's not about approaching them with and talking to them about issues. Not at
what
all.
What did you think about the order of the pieces? Should I have changed something? Like, no. Just,
that's not what I was implying whatsoever.
Let people come to you and say whatever they think.
Oh, yeah. It's not about finding out from them. It's about just going and having a conversation. That's not the motive.
We should make choosing the order of pieces in a concert seem more important than it is, you know?
Oh, no, of course. Yeah.
Because it's
just
one thing and...
Yeah, exactly.
But don't stress too much over it.
It's true. But yeah, what a great question. That's amazing. What do we got here? Angie was saying here, our local community orchestra has a concert coming up that will feature local talent and a local talent concerto night. Oh, those are local talent concerto. That's such a cool idea. So obviously not full pieces, but parts to highlight individual artists. That's amazing. Yeah, like a highlights. That's amazing. I like those types of shows sometimes because it's like a potpourri. You know, you get a little bit of everything and it's not complete, but who cares? You go out of there with an experience and then it makes you want to find out more about that artist or find more about that composer. That's a cool idea.
It's a nice theme to have.
Very cool theme for sure.
Another thing like... You know, like maybe you want to end with something bright or maybe you want to end with something more interior. Like that's the whole thing, you know, you want to, that's what,
Yeah, exactly. Jerome wants to know here. Good morning. Yeah, it is morning here.
Oh, yeah, just go ahead. One last thing. I just thought about it. Maybe start with something you're very comfortable with.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think
you gain confidence
before,
in the first piece, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also like. Practice
because
before
usually,
we have confidence.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Because usually we're more stressed on the first piece, then we get a bit more, you know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Go with what you feel.
Comfort
is,
level
is
for
your,
the artist.
Like, yeah.
You have nothing to prove except enjoy the moment like they are enjoying the moment. You know, you want to pick stuff that's going to make you challenged if you want that to be,
or to challenges
or
too.
To also just have enjoyment. And just that's amazing too, because you can you can do that as well. Let's jump to Jerome here. He wants to know how to not overfocus on a difficult part. Sometimes I even do mistakes afterwards and lose my concentration on easy parts. I know too much paradox.
Well, yeah.
You have a thing that you do a lot. You practice the end a lot and then go backwards sometimes, kind of get to know.
Oh, yeah. I don't always practice from the beginning. Sometimes I start with the end and then I do the middle. Sometimes I start with... Yeah, because if you always start with the beginning, usually your ending is a bit more weak because if you always practice the same thing at first, because when you start your practice, you're more focused than at the end of your practice. So, yeah. But that thing is really like when you play in concert and you make a mistake in a tough part and then it kind of screws your head a little bit and then you can't... focus on the rest and you make mistakes in easy parts. I think that's what I was saying before. Practice continuing before the concert, because when I was younger, at one point I realized I was only playing without stopping in concert. And then I was like, I'm so much better when I practice. I wasn't. It's just I was stopping and replaying the thing and I was not used to just play it at once, you know, all without stopping. And so... yeah, that would be the first thing. Practice that. Practice continuing, even if you make a mistake. At first, it's difficult. You do it 5 times, 6 times before the concert. It'll be better than if the concert is one or like you didn't do it very often. So you have to have practice time for practicing the tough parts. And then you have to have practice time that's just playing the whole thing without stopping.
Yeah.
And also the other thing is when I have a tough part, personally, I feel the energy goes up in my body when I'm scared. I feel like, whoo! And so I purposefully visualize the energy going down before the tough part or when I know it's coming and I feel that whoo going up, I go, whoo!
Yeah, that's a good technique.
And then I
keeps
this thing from happening where it's all like going in my throat. So maybe check... physically, what are the feelings that you get when you're scared? Because that's that's fear. When we know this thing is happening and we might miss. And try to calm this thing down, you know, by doing the opposite. If it's if you see it as being some type of red energy going up, maybe you bring blue energy going down. Or, you know, it's all visualization, but it's pretty efficient.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting. I would just add to that, like, you know, a different thing to try, especially if you're in a practicing mode and you're not in the concert mode, is, you know, when you practice hard things, try to, you know, practice that thing the right way until you get it right. And then maybe go and take a walk, let the brain calm down, because when we're making music, lots of things are firing off in our brain, to our fingers, to our mouth, to atmosphere, everything. So maybe try to get it right a couple of times in a row if you can, then walk for 5 minutes, come back, try to do it again, because the brain wants to save those good trials, because you're basically doing a lot of recall, and also recall based off of skill. So try that, you know, step away from the music, let it settle in, because the brain has to do so many things and computate. And I know when people practice over and over and over and they practice this one run 100 times and they only get it 50 times right, it's a lot of energy. People do that. It's a lot of...
You shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't do that.
Because you're practicing mistakes.
Yeah, you're practicing mistakes.
And mm-hmm. you're learning the mistake more solidly in your brain, because right. that you're making that little circuit in your brain.
Yeah.
So you don't... Make sure you practice the right thing.
Stuff, yeah.
Make sure you practice correctly. If it means like practicing slower or maybe, taking your time, maybe taking a break.
Yeah.
But don't practice mistakes.
Exactly. Don't practice mistakes. Play correctly. Take a break.
Yeah.
Come back. It's
if like, you need a break, take a break.
Not everybody's practice session is the same. And you want to follow your body and not follow what somebody else thinks is supposed to be a perfect practice session or a good productive. Yeah. Figure it out, you know.
When like, I was 11 years old, I decided that I was going to practice a certain amount of time, like 1 hour piano, 1 hour flute every day. And I was like putting a timer. And 1 week I had practiced mistakes so much because I was too tired. I was like, it was a bit much for a tiny child like that. Right. And my teacher was like, what have you done?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, don't do that. You practice focused. When you're tired, you take a break. If you practice, I'd rather you practice half the time well than learning mistakes. Now your mistake is so well learned.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, like, maybe, you know, I think personally, the breaks are part of the practice. Yeah. It's as important as the practice.
Part of learning. Your brain
needs... It's part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay. And, you know, so I think Angie here in the comment was saying, practice makes permanent. It's true. Like, practice makes permanent in both ways. If you're practicing it wrong,
sleep makes permanent
and
too.
Oh yeah, sleep is really the sleep is actually the deciding factor of your brain being able to retain memory. It needs
retain
that
information.
Sleep.
Yeah.
The more the best, the quality of sleep, not necessarily the amount of hours, but the quality of sleep improves your recall memory by 40%. 40% of your practice is just in sleep. You're gonna get 40% improvement from sleep. That's an amazing improvement. There's no other technique that can do that, you know?
You still need hours, though. You still need time.
Yeah, you still need time. But it's a question of balance as well, so. Chalice wants to know another. This is a bit more about
the
concert
stuff. But you can't tell your teacher, like, oh, I slept so well, but I haven't practiced. Because then there's nothing to recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Just a little.
Yeah. Celeste here wants to know, do you memorize repertoire for a concert? Well, that's a whole entire other thing, too. It's... You know, whether you, maybe it's a little bit part challenge, part virtuosic type of thing to show off, or if you feel comfortable playing by memory, by all means. But in school, it could be required for some things.
Usually,
sometimes
for,
it doesn't.
Like,
but
the tradition is that pianists, violinists, cellists, they learn by heart, and usually wind instruments don't. I used to learn by heart a lot when I was younger. Because I was also playing piano, and in piano I would learn it by heart. So I kind of just transposed it to the flute and did it. Now I don't really, because I feel it's a lot of energy. And I don't feel that I necessarily play better, but it's way more time. And there's a risk that I might make a little slip.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do it that much by heart. But
yeah,
it's a tradition that started, I think, with Liszt.
Yeah, and it's changed. That's why I'm saying, like, a thing that's from 200 years ago almost.
Yeah.
It's changed in different regions. Some places, they don't even talk about it nowadays. And some places, they do.
I don't find it that important, personally.
Yeah.
But I used to do it. I liked it. I felt, when I was younger, I felt more confident that I could be expressive if I knew it by heart, I guess. Because I felt I had more energy in my ears than in my eyes, you know, or I felt more like I was really not anymore. I don't feel like I need to anymore. It's personal.
Personal,
but it's not necessary usually for wind instruments. That's not required.
Right.
And that's the tradition. Yeah.
And like personally, like I said, if you're out on your own doing your own thing, make your own rules up. Just like just like with most art forms, just make up, know the main rules, but just go out and do what you got to do.
The only thing, if you play in concert with your music, make sure you put your stand a little bit low, a little bit far from yourself, so you're not playing behind your stand. People want to see your face, and you don't want your sound to be stuck in a stand.
Yeah.
You want the sound to project. So, yeah, just and practice it before, because if you're always practicing with a stand super high in front of your face,
it could feel different.
It will feel different. So just make sure that your concert stand position, you've practiced it and you're comfortable with it, and it's not in the way of you and the audience communicating, you know?
Yeah.
Like that communication there.
I'd also encourage a light stand if possible, because well-lit music is good for your vision. You know, if you're in a dark room in a concert hall and the lighting isn't where you want it to be, get a little light stand so that you're for sure able to see the music at any time. That can help a lot too. But yeah, before we answer one or two more last questions, if you have a diehard question, please leave it down in the comments. I'm just going to talk a little bit about all the things we have available, basically from the intro. But we have musicg.com, where we have both our beginner and intermediate book series. It's an online book series with videos and PDF and stuff like that. That's been going so well. You can.
Oh yeah! Thanks for everyone who bought it.
Plus,
very cool.
Yeah, we have sheet music there too. We have one or two pieces of sheet music right now, but that's a growing as well. And soon we'll be also adding some albums, flute albums. You're going to be recording some albums for flute, solo, and other stuff like that. So, musogy.com. That's where you can find anything we make. You know, personally, except for our merch, which is stuff like you're wearing right now, our Lung Lung shirt, which is inspired loosely by Ling Ling and all that two set stuff, but. You can go to store.theflutechannel.com and you can find all of our merch there. A lot of people have been buying merch and tagging us and sending us little messages. We have a happy practicing water, not mug, but, you know, like a colander, like a thing you can, the travel thing. You can bring
like
it to the gym.
Water bottle?
Water bottle. That's the word. And what else do we have? We also have those two things. And that's at store.theflutechannel.com. And what else? Oh, Patreon. Patreon.com/theflutechannel. And there you can help us out on a monthly basis, as low as $2 a month. And that goes directly to us to make more things for you guys on the YouTube channel. And we're going to be, and you can talk to us there. And we're going to be making a little bit more stuff for people behind the paywall there at patreon.com/theflutechannel. And that helps us out tremendously too. So we really appreciate everybody that's there. We have a nice little community there and it's always growing. So that's always a positive thing. And I think that's about it. Right now, the studio is pretty full, so we're not going to not to lay out for new people because we are.
Yeah, the studio is pretty full for now.
But we're going to, we might talk about it later in a couple months, but for now, we're going to be dealing with the full studio at the present moment. And then it's too early to talk a little bit about France, but we'll be in France in July and Europe at large for the summer. So we'll be maybe doing little pop-up events in specific little cities just to meet some fans and stuff like that. So if you're in France or in Italy, let us know. Shoot us an email. Maybe you'll be close by. It'd be pretty cool to meet a couple people. So we're going to try to plan some things like that.
Eat some pizza.
But yeah, I don't know if there's any other questions, but that was pretty interesting, like about how we talk about, you know, preparing a concert. And I hope we've given some insight and some tips to be able to kind of make your programming a bit more you and a bit more like, you know, a product, because I always look at it as a product and something that's, and look at it a business minded sense, because we want to give somebody in, we want to give everybody in the crowd rather an emotional experience, give them value for the money that they're doing. And we want to be able to, like you said, create an experience. So hopefully, you know, you can take those tips that we have. Do a lot of experimenting with programming. There's so much music out there now. With most live musicians, you can just go and get permission from them and figure out the whole aspect of how to, you know, pay people royalties, all those things. There's a lot of information about that as well that we didn't really talk about, but it's out there. And there's a lot of things that people can do It's pretty exciting. And I hope you guys, if you guys have a program, if you're doing programming for something, shoot us an email of what you're programming. It's always cool to see what people are doing, because then it gives us an insight of, oh, what's this piece? Oh, I never heard this Ian Clark piece, or I never knew Nina Rota wrote a sonata for flute and harp, for instance. You know, like the guy who wrote for The Godfather, I think, music. It wasn't The Godfather. Well, Nino Rota, he wrote movie music, but he also wrote conservatively and wrote classical music.
Yeah, yeah. He wrote quite a bit for the flute, I think.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. So you see, like, that was a composer I just didn't know about. So it's always cool to find out what other people are doing too. And it's, you can add that to your repertoire of adding to concerts and stuff. So hopefully everybody has a great rest of the month.
Do you want to take one or two questions? You think so? Yeah, Angie says, when I practice my band music,
I didn't see a question mark there, so that's why.
I save the hardest piece for later in my practice period when I know I'm tired, to see where it is
that's
weak.
Not a question, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's more of a remark.
you should really start with the tough stuff. You know, if you know something is a challenge, start with the challenge. That's where you're the most trusted and you have more focus.
Right.
So start with that. And then when you're tired, play the easy stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's smart that you noticed.
Exactly.
Yeah. And someone's asking if we're going to play some Indian songs.
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually. We'll see.
Maybe you can give us an idea of which one.
Oh, that'll be an endless list of stuff. People have already asked us that. You don't need to. Don't say those things.
Don't add
the
more.
List is insane.
We have a great
it's just
great
time
list.
Is our enemy. Our time is our enemy. I wish we could do everything more. Every day, but we do not. But help us out as all the ways that we were saying just before, all those avenues to help us directly. Go and watch a couple of our new videos. We have hopefully a new video coming out tonight, hopefully. And if not, later on this week with some new music video. But we're going to be doing other videos in the future, too. So thanks, everybody, so much. And we'll see you guys next month on the last Sunday of April. It's already April 2022.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
See you. Thanks.